You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it.
Welcome to another edition of Rams Up Roundtable. I'm your host, Tom, in Cali at RamsBeat on X, and joined, as always, by Mark, my co-host for the Rams Up podcast. How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good.
Good stuff. Just a lot of news here in this offseason, keeping us going, leading up to the draft. So seems like a good offseason here. And joined by also regular contributor, Ian. How's it going, Ian?
Doing good, LA. I think we're done with the rain randomly, thunderstorms like last week recording the pod. But, you know, doing good, man. I'm still just like, man, is 99 going to be out there at training camp when I go to visit? It's just not happening. And we'll talk more about that. But with that news, doing as best as you possibly can as a Rams fan.
That's it. Right. And also regular contributor, Paul. How's it going, Paul?
Doing great out here, holding it down on the East Coast, letting them know. Double bow Ram horns, 247.
East Coast Rams, Long Island version.
That's right.
Good stuff. Well, great to have you all. And we're going to dive into a few topics here, but we're going to go back to AD because we want to. and there's a little bit more news that have come out. So the news kind of broke that he told Sean McVay that he was quote, "I'm full," was his exact words after the Lions lost. And so everybody knew from literally the end of last season that he was going to retire. So Ian, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's just like, dang it, man. That team really should have beat Detroit. And we check out all the previous roundtables, guys, of why we lost that game. Should have won it. And it's a shame. That team, this last Rams team, should have been in the NFC Championship competing for the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl against San Fran. Should have been that way. Should have been a semifinal matchup with San Fran to at least, you know, decide the end of Aaron Donald's career that way, you know. And, hey, he put out a little preview clip today of the, I guess, the longer format that is soon to come of him and his wife, Erica Donald. A nice little filmed retirement video. And in that little clip, I don't know if I should play it or not. We'll get in trouble. But long story short, he talks about how he's burnt out. He's burnt out, and how the grind of being ready to give it his all for 17 weeks off season, he just doesn't have it in him anymore. And kudos to him for realizing that. How many times do we hear future Hall of Famers, Hall of Famers that are in, current players, where if you're not all in, what are you doing? What are you doing playing? You get yourself hurt. You're not being truthful to the organization, your teammates, the brothers, they say, that you fight for down in and down out, the coaching staff that is believing in you, hoping you perform well. So props to Aaron Donald for accepting that, realizing that, and being fulfilled and being happy where he's at. It seemed like he was happy at the interview. Happy tears was what I saw in that little clip. And as that comes out, I'm sure we'll talk about all the details once that's released. But hey.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, a lot of guys who have a contract, he could have mailed it in, you know, to some degree. And Aaron Donald version of mailing it in probably would have been better than 95% of the interior defensive linemen.
Pro Bowl level, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, right. But and made $30 million, right? So he could have kind of gone through the motions and still killed it without having to take on all that stress that he goes through every year. But he decided not to do it. And like you say, props to him. So any thoughts on AD, Paul, that he, you know, he let the Rams know? And maybe from the perspective of the Rams, and how do they keep that a secret for this entire offseason?
Crazy. Hold on, my friend. I don't think we can hear you too well.
Goes back to my comment from last week's roundtable. I don't think people were talking, you know, how embarrassing that Detroit Lions loss really was. And it really probably registered on the guy who has to absorb triple teams all game long, right? And looks to the left, looks to the right, and it's like, you know, is everybody, you know, listen, like he said, he had to give that inspirational speech, man, bow up, right? In the middle of a playoff game. You know, it's, it goes back, you know, look, he's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. There's no question about it. 99 problems, you know, he was the Rams closer. That footage of McVay walking down the sideline, going to him, this is your time. The guy's got his helmet on. He's like shaking his head, got it done in the championship game, and then got it done in the Super Bowl. He closed it out. But in that same context, how many times can you tell probably the number one warrior on your team, you know, well, we're not going to go for it this year? Before it, like he said, I'm full. You know, I can't keep laying it out there, and you know, you guys are going in a different. I mean, listen, he handled it with class, but I bet you somewhere down the line, there's going to be an interview that comes out, and Donald's going to let it come out. He's going to be like, "That was BS, man. That was BS. This was BS. That was BS." So I think the Rams should have built around him. It wasn't that long ago. I'll stand by my position. Had they put a superstar on either side of him, they would have had at least one more ring, right? But you know, it is what it is. He still met, and that just goes to show his greatness. Mark was talking about Steven Jackson, a very analogous player, and the fact of also of his sacrifice. But
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a lot of these players, their talents are wasted, but more importantly, the sacrifice they make for their teams go unnoticed. You know, AD really sacrificed for the Rams. He's a three technique who played 4-eye in a tight front and still got it done. A lot of times playing the run. I mean, that's the type of player he was. And really, you know what? It's a shame that, you know, they didn't dial it up for him, you know, after all he had done for the team. So, you know, so he should enjoy his retirement. The gold jacket's waiting, you know, and I hope he returns to the NFL in some capacity. I think he'd be a great coach. I think he'd be a great spokesman for the NFL. I hope he's on a couple of committees, and you know, we know he's going to stay active in the community. So what his contributions to football just can't be quantified, and kudos to him. It was an absolute privilege to watch him play in the Rams. Should be hang that jersey in 2024, find a place, hang it from the rafters, and let it just you know, hang there by itself for a little bit.
So be cool with me. Mark, I wanted to get your take on the salary cap implications of AD's retirement. I'll just summarize. It's been a little confusion. I was able to reach out to some folks that were able to reach out to some folks that talked to the agent and so forth and confirmed this. So this is in stone now. And it turns out that was originally reported that he was given some parting bonus. He was given his he was given like $8 million in salary as a parting gift. That's not true. The reality is that he had a $10 million salary coming into this season. 8.8 of it was added to his $20 million option bonus. So that means it did not get paid to him. The $5 million roster bonus was paid to him because it was previously guaranteed last year. So he made $5 million of his $35 million, where the Rams are saving $30 million. The long and short of it is before the restructure and then the retirement, he was going to hit $34 million. I'm going to round to $1 million number.
Yeah, of course.
He was going to hit $34 million on the cap in 2024. And after the retirement, now it's $20 million less. It's going to hit $14 million on the cap in dead money. Okay. In 2025, he was going to hit $29 million on the cap. And that's all the money that was pushed out from his first two seasons, right? He got $60 million. Half of it was pushed out. I wasn't fully aware of that, but he was going to hit 29 with the restructure after the retirement and the restructure, it's going to be 19. So, you know, we're going to save 20 million. Bottom line is we got a 20 million cap credit coming this year and a 10 million cap credit coming next year based upon Aaron Donald's retirement. So,
well, that's way better than I thought it was going to be. Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that's $20 million to play with this year, right? That we can, you know, that's a lot of money. I mean, you can't go get another Aaron Donald for that. But what are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, I mean, that's good news, obviously. I have a difficult time tracking salary cap stuff. It's so confusing. And you go to two or three different sites and the information never matches. And so to be honest with you, I don't really pay close attention to it. I trust in Demoff and Snead to figure it out. They're the best in the business at it. But I would think that means there may be some moves coming. And, you know, there could be some moves coming very late. And I was doing a little bit on one of the podcasts, I think it's already published, you know, about the Rams signing Leonard Floyd and A'shaun Robinson. And that came, I think it was late April of 2020, 2021, whatever year it was. So, you know, things are kind of quiet right now. I think the Rams are hopefully, there's something coming down the road. They're going to make some moves. They're going to have to. And I guess, you know, the Donald salary cap implications are going to, those moves are going to help us. And I just wanted to say one thing about Aaron Donald and his retirement at 32 years old. It's always bothered me a little bit, of course, sitting on my couch. It's easy for me to say, I hear these players say, oh, you know, it's go time. It's overtime. It's playoff time. Time to take it up a notch. And Aaron Donald, you know, he never had to take it up a notch. He was at that level from the first snap of the first game of the season all the way, you know, every game, every snap, in my opinion. And so, hey, 10 years of that, man, that's a tough load. And got to consider that.
You know what? I watching these clips and then you just remember Aaron Donald in big games. He knew that at the end of the game, he would have to come up big, right? I mean, but the way he set up these guys that he was going against with these hand moves, and he'd do the same thing over and over. And then and then next thing you know, he had a move left in his bag to set him up to go to that move and then go to the counter at the end of the game and to win the, and just to blow right by him. And he did that time and time again on big plays. Watch him doing this. Watch a little bit of tape. He's doing the same thing, the same thing, the same. And then he also, then he all of a sudden, or when this thing and that thing, this thing and that thing. And next thing you know, he's going to this thing, but a new thing when he really needs to make a play in crunch time. And that's the kind of stuff. I mean, guys just don't do that, right? He's toying with guys out there, setting them up. It's a sight to behold. Anyway, in terms of the one more note on the Donald contract, the Rams are going to have to carry in order to accomplish the numbers that I just gave you, they're going to have to essentially, you know, deal with the assign him to the retired list essentially after the June 1st, right? So it's essentially the same thing as a June 1st designation if you're cutting somebody. And so retirement's just like a cut for cap purposes. So bottom line is the Rams are carrying right now $33.5 million for him. And then post June 1, 14 of that gets dropped into for this year, and then 19 gets dropped into next year. So bottom line is on June 1st, on June 2nd, the Rams are freeing up essentially $20 million in cap space. That's a nice little what's the holiday right at the beginning of beginning of summer, Memorial Day. Memorial Day present. So,
well, hey man, everyone, weren't we talking about not long or the last pod and even just, you know, through the Rams community, just how much this was going to screw us, right? So these are good things to hear, you know. I mean, so be it, right? You pay that price for Hall of Famer, mega talent, but for it not be this bad, I mean, hey, dude.
You know, I mean, credit the Rams. When he retired, everybody thought, oh, his salary cap's going to just get crushed. But, I mean, they didn't – a lot of times they guarantee a lot of money up front. And like in his last contract, they did that. A lot of that money was already paid out. And then he's like, I'm going to hold out because I'm not going to make very much money. And they're like, dude, we already gave you all the money. He's like, I know, but, you know, I'll just retire because I'm only going to make $14 million or whatever it was. You know, some, you know, low number. Because everything was pushed into signing bonuses, right? And there was, to be fair, it was restructures and other things. But this time, the Rams did not do that, right? They did not do that. If they had done that, this could have been nasty, right? It could have been like, and you know, and so it could have been on the hook for that money. And there's clawback provisions, the Barry Sanders clawback provisions. If a guy retires, you can try and go after some of the bonus money, but it gets ugly and contentious and everything else. And
yeah, it's like, don't do that to your best players, like the Lions.
Exactly.
Come on.
Guys fake injuries and stuff like that when that happens. So it just could have gotten stupid. So, you know, credit to the Rams, credit to AD for not insisting on it. He could have gotten whatever the hell he wanted, as we know. But anyway, moving on. So, moving on to, you know, with AD gone, we now have a new franchise player in Jimmy Garoppolo. And
gosh.
So I want to let
we live in a weird timeline, gentlemen. We really live in an obscure timeline.
I want to go to Paul on this. So, hey, Paul, Jimmy Garoppolo is your new backup quarterback. He is suspended for the first two games of the season.
Oh, that's right.
Jesus. And he is also, after being unceremoniously cut by the Raiders because he couldn't play quarterback for them, he was awarded to the Rams with $4.5 million guaranteed, with up to 12 million, I think 11 or $12 million potential, depending
on. It's like 11.25.
It's like roster bonus, you know, if he plays a lot and stuff. Yeah. So, anyway, Paul, have at it. What's your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo and learning of his new $4.5 million guarantee?
I don't know. Tell you honestly, I still don't understand why he's even on the team. I really don't. I mean, if you can't make it with the Raiders, I don't really understand who's in charge of the analysis of this one. Should, you know, just basically
Paul McVay said, what a beautiful thrower of a football, natural. Yeah. I mean, that's what he said. What Coach McVay said.
That's awesome. The same guy who released his shoulder injury information so he could collect his money. The same guy who accidentally what was his excuse why he suspended for 2 days? He accidentally did whatever. A lot of accidents seem to happen when Jimmy Garoppolo's around, right? So, I mean, look, the Rams are playing with fire. This is exactly this. We've watched it happen. They're playing with fire. They haven't learned anything. They are playing with fire. You are playing with the psyche of a very young team, and you brought in, you just lit the fuse. And I'll sit back and I'll watch so we can show up on the round table and say, all right, go back a couple of round tables when I said it was going to happen.
Told you so. Ian, the excuse that, or the reasoning, I should say, that McVay and company gave to one of the beat writers was that that Garoppolo is a much better system fit. And whereas Carson Wentz wasn't a system fit, this isn't his normal system. He's not used to it. When he did play, when he went in for Stafford for those couple of games, they had to install some new plays for him just so that he was stuff he was comfortable with. So what does that make any sense to you?
Well, look it. Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is from this Mike Shanahan route of the offense that we run, the 49ers ran. And that makes sense. I get it from that perspective. Yes, does he know the playbook pretty much? Half of it, probably. But the other half is obviously Rams-centric, where those things are specific to our team, our franchise, and Coach McVay's play calling. Okay. Now, I heard that about Brett Rypien, because he was a Mike Shanahan quarterback, right? Or quarterback player, I should say, where he was in that system all the time, which is ironically why he kept getting jobs, right? Seattle, when we cut him, now he's going to be the backup possibly for the Bears with Caleb, because Shane Waldron, our old Rams coach, who was the Seattle offensive coordinator the last few years, runs this Shanahan style offense. So I heard that with Brett Rypien, and how was that in Lambeau Field? Pretty effing bad. So now, is Garoppolo Rypien? Of course not, everybody. Have we seen good play from Garoppolo? Of course, everybody. But based off the Raiders stint, that was disaster, right? And I think part of that is McDaniels. I don't think he's a great coach outside of Tom Brady being his quarterback, to be honest. The only way I'll be okay with this is if Carson Wentz was demanding, you know, $6, $7, $8+ million. And the Rams are like, no, thanks. If that's the case, then Garoppolo would make more sense to me and I could swallow it. It's really that simple, you know? But that excuse of he fits our system better is lame. If Carson was here, more time in the system, he would learn it. He's not some dumb dude, right? We've seen him play MVP quarterback football for many teams, actually, in bursts and in full seasons. So that's a lame excuse by whoever was telling our reporters that. But again, only way I'll swallow it is if Carson Wentz was demanding significantly more money to be the backup, then I'll eat dirt with Garoppolo. And hopefully we never have to see him play, right? Come on, Stafford.
Stay healthy. Yeah, that's why we got those offensive linemen. Mark, this is almost an identical contract to what Sam Darnold got with the Niners, right? So $4.5 million, $11.5 million, $12 million, you know, possible, right? It's almost identical. So this is kind of becoming the norm for these, rebuild your reputation after being a starter somewhere, quarterback situation. And Garoppolo even came out and said it. Oh, I want to really rebuild my reputation. I mean, in so many words, come back, you know, a new energy and really show what I can do. And, you know, essentially almost referring to like Baker Mayfield and so forth and what he did. So what are your thoughts on that? Can Jimmy G, can he reclaim his old glory and show the NFL world that he's a good quarterback?
Well, hopefully his only opportunity is the preseason to do that. But if Stafford gets dinged up a couple of games, and you know, can Jimmy G come in? And I'm going to be in the minority here. I'd much rather have Carson Wentz, and I think it's a lot more money than I thought they'd pay Wentz or someone like Jimmy G. But I just remember who we use, who we've had back there: Bryce Perkins, John Wolford, Brett Rippin. Those guys, the answer is no. Baker Mayfield, that's Carson right. Wentz, the answer was yes. Jimmy G, hey, I saw Jimmy G slice and dice us a handful of times, and if he's protected and can yeah, he get the quarterback? Yeah, can he get the ball to Puka and Cooper and our tight ends? And if he's protected, he's got the arm. He's won at the NFL level. I think he can do a lot worse as far as backup quarterbacks go, but it does seem like a lot of money.
Yeah, makes sense. So yet to be seen, like you said, to start off, let's hope that we don't have to see it, right?
It's and this almost, is the state of quarterbacking in the NFL is what it is.
Yeah, right.
This is why there are so the dearth of quality quarterbacks in the NFL, because they keep giving people like Jimmy G jobs, and then talented young quarterbacks never get a roster shot.
That's right? Not true, yeah.
And then they eject quarterbacks that they drafted. I won't even say a name, but they draft a quarterback in the first round, never give him a fair shot, and then the guy can't get a job again. But Jimmy G can bounce around and collect $10 million checks, accidentally use performance in drugs and claim he didn't know, whatever, get a shoulder injury, release it right before free agency so he doesn't get signed. And then people are like, oh, he's a great locker room presence. I'm like, did IQ drop in the NFL recently? Or did we – I don't understand what's going on and what these beat writers are writing. What are you writing about? Who are the people that you are interviewing that are saying that he's a great locker room presence? Give us names. Give us the survey information of where you collected that. All I know is I turned on the Ram game, and they were Ram players jumping up and down when Carson Wentz was on the field. It was like watching a youth football game. There was an energy there. What are people not recognizing? It's not about, you know, what, you know, people want to pull up his stats or whatever. It's not what it's about. Look at the charge that the Rams had on the sideline for this one guy to play one game in their season and how it electrified the team. That's this is a team sport. Does not matter what anybody wants to say. It will always be a team sport. Think team. And this is not a team signing. And I will go on record right now. Find me 10 Rams that will go public and defend him. If that happens, I will buy lunch for everybody in this roundtable for the next 6 months. I will DoorDash Uber it.
Whatever. So you're not wearing a Jimmy G jersey to training camp, is what you're saying?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No Jimmy G jerseys for Paul.
And real quick, I just want to share, because I have the quote, what he said, Garoppolo, why he chose the Rams. Like, Rams came in about midway through, and I fell in love with the place. They were straight to the point, very professional, which I really appreciated. And there was no messing around about the pitch. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be fun. You know, start this journey to reset, reinvent, whatever you want to call it. I'm just excited to get back, you know, to playing football and start slinging around with some new guys. That sounds like fun football that I love. That's what Garoppolo said. So, hey.
Hey, you know what? I'm just going to say, I know it's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be extra sweet to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G? How would 49er fans feel about that?
Mark, Garoppolo is a good luck charm for backup Super Bowl or backup quarterback Super Bowls, right? Sure. Think about all that time with Brady when he had to play and he played football in those, you know, 4 or 5 games. Although, you know, I think it was like 2 championships he's won with backing up Tom. So, hey.
That's Jimmy G.
Let's move on to somebody that I know that we are all very excited about that's just joined the Rams. Cam Curl. So, we signed him. We don't have the exact numbers yet. We're still waiting on the numbers, but it looks like, you know, the initial report is 2 for 13. We don't know how it's structured or anything like that, but seems like a bargain. All the Washington fans that I spoke with think that was crazy. Like, how did we let him get away for that and so forth? And there's Cooper in the background. But the thing with the kind of the news with Cam Curl is he came out and said in his kind of introductory news conference that the Rams are excited to use him in, and McVay said this as well, they're excited to use him in new ways, not just as a standard cornerback use all of his talents and all of his expertise, you know, and explore what he can do back there as a defensive back, not just as a cornerback. Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of when Jalen Ramsey came to the Rams. He was just so disgruntled with Jacksonville because they wanted to use him as this lockdown corner, you know, leave him on Ramsey Island, a la Revis Island, and just kind of, you know, that was it. And he's just like, dude, I can guard the best wide receiver and they'll never throw to him, but I'm not doing anything for the whole game. And he wanted to use more of his talents, and they said, you know, just shut up and do what we say. He came to the Rams and they put him into the star, and he really got involved and really flourished. And so it kind of, that, well, you know, I'm not comparing Cam Curl to Jalen Ramsey, don't get me wrong. I'm just comparing their mindset and the skill sets in terms of the diversity of it, and the Rams exploring this, you know, really talented cornerback's diverse skill set. And we'll see, yet to be seen if he can play well there, but that's kind of what it seems like. Paul, what are your thoughts on Cam Curl having a bigger role than just standard cornerback? And do you think it's going to be at the star?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark and I were talking about this when we were talking about safeties we were going to draft in the upcoming with some of the picks and who could play the star and should Lake stay at the star. So, I mean,
I like Lake at the star.
Yeah. But this gives them two players that can jump down and play the star. You know, a lot of their split half coverages, think about that now. If they go back to that cover six look, it just makes it that much better, you know, because they don't have to compromise any one side of the field now. So I think that's why he's excited, and rightfully so. I think this kid used to play corner, man. This kid used to play corner. He's that good. So, you know, you're getting a young ascending player at, I don't know how they pulled this off for that price, but kudos to them. And this kid's going to prove them, you know, correct. And he's going to be incredible value for that contract. He hits like a ton of bricks. He plays with intensity. He's a positive presence. You know, he can play it any way you need it. You need him to shut down center field, he can do that. You need him to bring the pain in the box, he can do that. You need him to jack a tight end, he can do that. So that's, you know, him talking about this and everything else is, you know, what I've been hinting at. I honestly think Chris Shula is going to dial it up a little bit more this year. I really do. And now that AD's gone, they're going to have no choice, right? Yeah. They have no choice. They're going to dial it up a little bit, and I think it's going to help this defense. They're going to be young and hungry, and they're going to bring in some more players for sure. I definitely think someone like Clowney is coming to the Rams, right? They're going to show. They're not going to just go all rookies. It's just not wise. Yeah, it's not wise. They have to beef up that pass rush a little. And I think this kid is going to be a big part of it. Look at that secondary right now, safety-wise. Lake and Curl, that's pretty, in my opinion, that's pretty impressive right there. And they'll get a little bit deeper, hopefully, at corner.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I mean, I like what I'm hearing so far. Let's see how it plays out on the field. You know, the Rams got some very big shoes to fill. They're going to have to do it with multiple players and not just scheme. So I like what I'm hearing, and I like the kids' enthusiasm. That's what we're talking about. That's what we, you know, my soliloquy before. It's, you know, these are the kind of guys you want, the guys that play like their hair is on fire. They're ready to go. They're ready to lay it out for the team, you know, and that's what they got in this kid. Cam the Ram is back.
Ian, do you think that if it sounds like Cam Curl is – kind of slotted in for that no pun intended for that star position. Do you think that Quentin Lake can hold it down at kind of a strong safety position, and one kind of that too high safety look that the Rams love in that matchup zone with somebody like Yeast or something? Or what are your thoughts?
I think Quentin Lake's best football was from the star, that slot area, nickel-ish, that kind of everything DB that's why we call it the star here. He played his best football there. He didn't play a ton really up top, unless it was garbage time in his rookie year, some moments, this last campaign. So he's best there. Russ Yeast was best at the dime linebacker spot. And real quick, for everybody who doesn't know what that is, that's when you have that sixth defensive back in place of another player. We switch out an inside linebacker, a Roseboom, and we put him there next to Ernest Jones. He played really good football there, Russ Yeast. Now, both those guys didn't play a whole ton up top, and if they did, it was kind of 50-50 whether it was good or not so good. So as of right now, my ideal lineup would be obviously Darius, Kobe Durant on the outside. And I know we want to narrow him down to the slot because of his size, but he's been vocal about it. He's not comfortable in the slot or the star. He's not. He plays better on the outside, and the film backs that up too. Him at the outside as of today. Quinn Lake in the slot, star. Ernest on the inside. Russ Yeast as the dime. Cam Curl up top, and then we'll figure out whoever else the safety will be, whether John Johnson comes back. A Simmons, we draft somebody. That would be the ideal lineup. Now, everything's going to be dictated off who we draft and who we continue to sign. But based off who's on this roster today, that's how I would lay it out. Now, can Quentin Lake grow and be a traditional up-top safety and play good football? It's possible. He improved drastically from year one to year two. But time will tell. I'd rather have Cameron Curl back there because I've seen him play elite football up top. And that's what we want. We want everybody to be in the best spots possible. And as of right now, that's where everyone should be. But we'll see what happens. But yeah. I think Quentin Lake could do it. We'll find out.
Mark, thoughts on Quentin Lake or Cam Curl playing up top? Or do they switch it around? I mean, obviously, having those interchangeable parts, the Rams, if you look at their defensive backfield of the last 2 years, for sure, and even beyond that to a certain degree, there's always so many injuries and so many issues. Yeah. So having two studs that can play the star position, which is essentially almost like the quarterback, if you will, of the defense, is pretty important.
And real quick, Cam Curl was a Green Dot guy in Washington, right? Was he? I'm like 90% sure on that.
I don't know. That's a good question.
That matters. That matters too, though. By the way, shoot, he can handle it.
Yeah, I think what Ian is getting at, and I think I agree with it, is that Quentin Lake's extremely talented. You move him from star to safety, are you weakening two positions? We know we can get it done at the star. And hey, if they're going to mix it up, maybe they're going to throw a bunch of different looks. They have they have six or seven competent defensive backs at this point, or somewhat competent, I guess, and they can go a lot of different ways. I think they need to sign one more guy, though, and definitely draft a safety. But what I'm being selfish here, I just know, Paul and I, when we do our mock drafts, this is new information for me that Curl could move up and play the star. What do we look for in defensive backs in a mock draft? Are we looking for just flat out cornerbacks? Do we need to go safety? We need a jack of all trades back there. I don't know. It's so hard to predict, to know what the Rams are thinking in that regard. But
I mean, shoot, guys, we didn't sign a Kelo Witherspoon until like almost early July this last offseason, which is crazy. It ended up being our best corner. So, I mean, there's still a lot of time to figure out what the hell is going to happen on defense, which is crazy to think about.
And we haven't mentioned Trey Tomlinson, and maybe he's just a special teams guy.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But yeah, we have, like we just talked about, a lot of cap space now, and
get Akello back here, man. Him and Darius, I feel good about that two outside guys. Him and Akello,
$23 million now, and plus another $20 million coming down the pike after June. So, a lot of money coming, and that's not to mention that there's plenty more where that came from if they want to start kicking the can down the road and do some restructures. So, but moving to off the field news. So, Ian, give us a summary of what you heard about McVay being the NFL's best free agent recruiter.
Yeah, McVay, gosh, a year ago, we didn't even know if he was going to coach football. Look how things just happened in the Not For Long League. And now he's reported by Diana Russini, who was longtime ESPN reporter for, you know, covering not just a small city, but doing national reporting for ESPN for the NFL. Now is one of the head people at The Athletic, which we enjoy here on the spot, at least I do. And she's reported in a little tweet that Coach McVay, Sean McVay's been the best phone call recruiter by far, according to players she's talked to and agents of players. Which, hey man, if there's a time for Sean to really have to be tapped into the collegiate side of the sport and get people to want to join, this is it, man, because we need all the help we can get now that 99 is gone, right? We need as many talented players and affordable deals as possible. And shoot, I'm happy to hear that, because we need it. And that kind of ties into something I'm sure we'll talk about afterwards, but I'm happy to hear that, man, that Sean cares. He's all in trying to get the best players possible here and is no nonsense about doing it himself, which a lot of times it's like GM talk, agent talk, right? There's really not a football schematic talk that goes on. A lot of times you hear from players more about just financials and money and how much guarantee, you know, a lot of times that's how things are dictated, but Sean's calling up people personally and saying, this is how you're going to fit with our team, and this is what I envision for you. Cam Curl said it. Garoppolo said it. Jonah Jackson said it. Colby Parkinson all said it in their press conference that they talked to Sean, and he had a vision for them. And let's keep that vision going, Sean, for everybody else that wants to join, because that's great news.
Mark, thoughts on Sean McVay's recruiting sales capabilities?
Yeah, I just heard that for the first time today, and surprise, surprise, you know, I would have expected that to be the case. He's just got that personality, so engaging, so enthusiastic. Not surprised at all. And it's, you know, if it helps push players over the edge to actually signing with the Rams and coming to LA, that's a big part of it too. Okay. A lot of these guys, you know, say what you want about LA, but I think a lot of young football players would love to be here. And I think that's part of it too.
You imagine how much this popped into my mind. Paul, can you imagine how much if he retired and he went into, say, broadcasting and made a bag with, you know, one of these streaming services, Apple or whatever. Can you imagine how much he would also make on the corporate motivational speaking tour? Like he'd be a $500,000 speech guy for the big corporations around the country.
So you'd be the most successful timeshare salesperson in the world, right? There's no question about that. But you know that a lot of people did mention that when he was talking about retirement, it was because people, like, you know, all these different entities were reaching out to him, like, listen, we have a gig for you whenever you're ready, and they were throwing big numbers at him. So I mean, you know, he's got a great personality. You know, listen, he brings that electricity to the team. You know, his enthusiasm, his love for the game and everything else. So, I mean, it's great. They just have to parlay that now. If he's the best recruiter, then that could be a big reason why they got Curl on such an affordable deal. You know, it's time to replenish, the shelves, start bringing in the weaponry that we need to get it done on both sides of the ball. So that's going to be definitely utilized to its maximum over the next season.
Yeah, a lot of time that stuff comes into play when a guy is an older guy and he's not going to get a big contract. He's just going to go. He could go anywhere he wants. He's a free agent. He's been cut by somebody or whatever. He can just go anywhere. He can go wherever. Maybe he's being paid by his previous team. Who knows? And you know, like Russell Wilson was, right? He can just go wherever. And Steelers are paying him $1.2 million. It's crazy.
And to that point real quick, I mean, Tre'Davious White, former All-Pro for the corner for the Bills, visited with us today. And I think his other scheduled visits, according to Adam Schefter, were Tennessee, rebuilding. New York, a mess, rebuilding always. I mean, hey, bro, I'm sure Sean had a vision for him, and it sounded pretty dang nice. So, I mean, right? I mean, based off everything we just talked about. So that's somebody else where I'm a little worried about his injury history, but, you know, the sales pitch is strong and he comes in on a vet, you know, on an affordable deal. Now with this new cap space you explained earlier in the pod, Tom, why not? Why not?
Yeah. If T. White stays healthy, man, he is a great fit for that scheme.
What do you think he's worth? Like, what would you give him? Let's say all these things are 2 years now.
Two years.
Will got 2 years, 20. Trey White get?
I mean, T. White, I think it would be on the medicals, right? Whenever the medicals come back, as you know, that would pretty much dictate it. I think he'd be a little bit under what D. Will got. Only because of that. Yeah. But I can tell you, I always thought he was an underrated corner. I really do. I think he and Steven Nelson are perfect for this defense. So if T. White doesn't work out, they got to bring Nelson. Nelson is tailor-made for this defense. But it's just a great example of players coming in and wanting to be here. That's the bottom line. Yeah, if the dude wants to be here, you're going to see them take a little bit less. You're going to see them work out the dollars because they want to be here. It's a nice environment. It's a great place to play, you know, and, you know, the Rams just got to get back into the mindset of let's get back to winning. They've been so far removed from winning. There have been so many distractions, which is another reason why I don't like the Jimmy G signing. It's just another distraction. There have been so many distractions over the last two seasons. Let's just get back to focusing on winning.
Yeah.
I think Steven Nelson is with the Raiders now too, Paul. If I had
remember probably signed, right? Well, he's not good, man. That was a great corner, an underrated corner.
Yeah, there's still so many guys out there. We'll see what happens there. So, Mark, let's go to our final topic. So I'm going to let Ian do the intro on this. On how it all came down, but our quarterback Stafford is going to be featured on an NFL Films kind of mic'd up a documentary. And Ian, lead off on how that came to pass, and then we'll throw it over to Mark and get his take on it.
Yeah. So if everyone remembers the highly, you know, acclaimed, the very much watched quarterback show that was on Netflix, it was Mahomes. It was Kirk Cousins, where he got a lot of his fame, and now he's everyone's favorite white boy quarterback, right? Marcus Mariota. Who else is on that? Was it just them three? It might have been just them three, if I remember correctly. But regardless, great hit, and they want to do another season of that. So they approached Matthew Stafford, who was the only NFL quarterback who was down to do it. The only one. Whoever else they approached, everyone said no, and I don't know who those people were, but Matthew was the only guy, which is why you saw this last week, everybody, that Netflix switched it to receiver, where now you see Jefferson, you see Kittle, I mean, there's a tight end, weird, you see Debo, you see Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're going to be the focus for this, you know, full-on season.
Devontae, that's right.
So because Stafford was the only guy who was down, NFL Films has teamed up with the Rams media team to do their own quarterback show, which will only be featuring Matthew Stafford. And that'll be coming out, I think, within the next month, if I'm not mistaken. I'll find the date exactly for that. And that's how that came to be. Stafford was the only one down. Netflix KO'd the quarterback segment, went to receiver. But NFL Films is like, wait. This guy's pretty good. We want to follow him around. So that show is going to be made, and I think it's going to premiere on YouTube and also on NFL.com and NFL Network simultaneously, a weekly episode that'll be aired just like any other show you would subscribe to. So that's pretty cool. I know what I'm going to be watching, and I'm not going to be watching some 49er nonsense, even though I might watch the last episode of where they lose the bowl. That might give me a little joy, but but pretty crazy. No other quarterbacks wanted to do it, gentlemen. Kind of shocking, honestly.
Mark, what do you expect from the Stafford documentary?
Well, I don't know. You know, I saw the trailer. My son sent it to me, and I was pretty jacked up just watching the trailer. But that's what trailers do, right? I think it seemed to be very family oriented, which is fine. And I did notice he made a reference to earning a gold jacket, and to earn the gold jacket, he needs to win another Super Bowl. That's his. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Really excited. I will definitely watch that one. I did not watch the, I don't watch a lot of stuff if it's not Rams stuff. So, I'll watch that for sure. I'm not sure about the Netflix show though.
Optimus Nine, baby.
Hey, real quick, April 18th. April 18th, it premieres on YouTube, NFL Network. Anyway, I just want to share that date real quick. Soon.
So, Paul, what are you more jacked up for? The Stafford doc or the quarterback doc? I'm sorry, or the receiver doc?
So, would I want to watch Optimus Nine or the Narcissism Special on Netflix? I don't know.
That's our psychologist. we'll go ahead and comment on that. But as a professional, psychologist, I want to hear your thoughts on why receivers have that narcissistic personality. I would love to hear that from you.
I'm not knocking receivers, and I'm not diagnosing.
But it's true.
So. I know. I just think, that is, listen, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. That is like the hype position, right? The wide receivers, they want the ball. Give me the ball. They want the glory. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
That's true, except for Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Cooper Kupp, Marvin Nakua.
But, yeah, it's not, like I said, it's not
because they don't have to say, give me the ball, because they get the damn ball, right?
Yeah, all three quarterbacks deliver it equally. So, yeah.
Anyway, so that's what makes Stafford special, right? That's what makes Stafford special, right? And that's why he's got a personality. He's genuine. Listen, not knocking wide receivers. There's great wide receivers. And you need guys that are dogs like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But Stafford special is just going to be different. It's going to be – it's going to be real. It's going to be about all the things that we've been talking about AD. We see it in the gunslinger that is Staff, man. Now, this is a guy that everybody in this room knows that he should not have been back in that game in Detroit. When he came out of that tent, I don't know what he pulled off. It's like that scene from Rocky. Remember that scene from Rocky when the trainer's got his hand and he's letting him know when the ref goes how many fingers? And he touches in the back of the head. It was one of those scenarios, probably.
Honestly.
But Staff, Staff is just great to watch when he's out there and just hearing, he's one of those guys that wherever he is, people are just going to gravitate to him. So kudos to them for recognizing them. And, all kidding aside, the Netflix special I think is going to be interesting. Just getting all the different personalities, man. Wide receivers have, they're very, their personalities are out there. Some people don't like it. Some people do. Some people, that's why I think related to that controversy at the combine, that's what that came out with certain players saying, I'm not going to get measured. I got 3 years of film. Go watch it. And we've seen it where players, because of their personalities, get hammered, in the media or public opinion. And it's not fair to them. So, we'll see. We saw Randy Moss go through that throughout his career, right? We saw T.O. go through that. T.O.'s still going through that, right? Chad Johnson went through that. Remember that? So wide receiver is always going to be that position that is just very polarizing, right? Michael Irvin was still is to this day, very outspoken. But like Mark said, for every one of those outspoken players, you get those quiet assassins like Jerry Rice, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Marvin Harrison Jr. Isn't participating in the Ohio State Pro Day, and they don't have so many of those guys are coming back there anyway. So he's taking
and to that point, Stu Jackson, who writes all those articles for the Rams on the Rams.com, and you hear him in press conferences, he put out a tweet that made me chuckle. He was like, gosh, what a selfish guy. I hope he falls 18 spots. We're pick 19.
Yeah. I love you.
Hoping that he falls down. That'd be crazy. He would fit this offense really nicely. And we'll get to receivers, I'm sure, soon.
But yeah, Marvin, do not show up for any interviews or anything. Just stay at home. We'll take care of the rest.
So today I sent the crew here my first mock draft. I really haven't been, diving into it that much. And so today I decided, I'm going to kind of do the post Aaron Donald draft. And I went in and started messing around and started seeing all these players. You see the players, and everybody does mock drafts. You see all the players available, and you kind of scroll down. And you see, God, there's so many guys down there. I'd rather have two of them than one of them. And so pretty much every opportunity I got, I traded down in the draft, as long as it was for a 2024 pick, not a 2025 pick. Ended up drafting 24 players, you know, 10 interior defensive linemen slash edges, a bunch of cornerbacks. I got that quarterback from one quarterback from Notre Dame that, you know, could be a guy in sixth round. But yeah, so my takeaway.
I know, what do we got here? We got Frank Gore Jr. in here.
Yeah, we got, very end of the draft. I mean, yeah, the guy was like the seventh rounder. But my takeaway was, holy cow, how many great players are there at the bottom of this draft? And the Rams do notoriously trade down at the end of the draft for more players. So I'm predicting that they're going to end up with, what do we have going into the draft, Paul, Mark? How many guys, how many draft picks do we have?
11.
We have 11 picks. So.
And that's tied for first, right, gentlemen? That's tied for first most in the NFL, going
into
the draft.
And so I'm going to predict we're going to end up with 14 again like we did last year. I really am. I think they're going to push down. I don't think they're going to push up. I think they're smart guys analytically, and they're like, you know what? I'll take two guys, you know, 15 picks lower than one guy that I love. And they're pretty self-aware. I don't think that they particularly fall in love with guys and have to go get them like other draft rooms do. And they've kind of learned, I think, from last year, hey, if we get draft 14 guys, yeah, we're going to have a fourth round Stetson Bennett. We're going to have the prior year, we're going to have a Bruss here or there, but for the most part, the more, the better. Right. I mean, just at the end of the day, ultimately we like a bunch of guys. Let's get as many of the guys we really like, and we have a much better chance of finding a couple of gems like a Kobe Turner or a Byron Young. Or, I mean, Steve Avila was pretty early on. He was going to be a proven guy. Or, you know, Kyren Williams or Puka Nacua or, you know, these guys just come out of nowhere. And so I think the more the merrier, man. I'm all in for the more the merrier when it comes to the draft instead of going after that guy that you love. You know, plus the fact in the first round, like guys like, you know, like Paul's been talking about Byron Young. If you get these three or four quarterbacks and three or four receivers, or two or three receivers pushing everybody else down. And then you got your, you know, numbers, your stud edges with Verse and, you know, some of these other guys, right? You're going to find these guys. You're going to find the best interior defensive lineman, whoever you want at number 19. You're just going to find him there. So
I hope so. Dang it.
Super excited about this draft. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. Cause man, dude, Like we said in previous pods this last month or two, it's BS season, rumor season, a lot of nonsense being said unless you have credible people saying it. But man, these quarterbacks are gonna inflate their position and they're gonna deflate everybody else, and that's just better for us, right? I mean, shoot. I mean, guys, I'm getting to the receiver group. Oh my goodness. Look, obviously we met with Adunze and others, and I know this is a little draft and we have time to talk about this, but just real quick, there's some people that we are going to have an opportunity to get in the second round that are first round worthy, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. There's so much. And all those offensive linemen are up top. I mean, all these studs, generational players, people keep saying, right? All these, you know, once in a.
I know. That term is so –
I know. It's so overused.
Irritating. I know. It's irritating.
Yeah, but you get all these guys that are, you know, like big hits. Okay, so now – having said that, let's go back to the Paul. Let's go back to the two drafts, the quarterback drafts with Lawrence and Mac Jones and all these guys. Right, there were 2 years in a row that 19 quarterbacks were drafted in both rounds, and I mean in all the rounds, right?
A lot.
And 2 years in a row, right? And there are now, out of the 19, only two are starters on their team. Two out of 19.
That's crazy.
It's Lawrence and Mr. Irrelevant for the Niners. I won't say his name. Brock Purdy. So 17 guys. You know, you just go down the list with all the Fields and all the guys that are gone and just didn't convert. I mean, that's terrible odds.
Yeah, it's bad.
Right, but that goes to what I said earlier, right? Is that that's why the state of quarterbacking in the NFL is what it is. So when people say, he's great for the system, right? He's great for the system that has been unable to develop a quarterback in two decades. So yeah. So what good is that? You know, when you talk about all these different teams and they refer to their systems, yeah, the same system that couldn't develop a first rounder 5 years ago, the same system that still hasn't developed a quarterback. So maybe the system needs to change. Maybe it's not the quarterbacks that are coming in. Maybe it's the fact that a lot of teams that we've talked about are keeping like these relics as coaches and assistant coaches who cannot adapt to the level of talent that is coming out of that position. Take a look at the quarterback position and how it has evolved. Look at the quarterback that won the Super Bowl. You have a mobile quarterback that doesn't just run around, can win games with his arm, you know, who is intelligent, who can dissect the defense. And you're paying guys $10 million, which we said the person's name already, who can do none of that. So is it the quarterbacks that are failing, or are the systems failing these quarterbacks? So that's my opinion. And my opinion is that, look, you know, Andy Reid talks about it all the time. He changed when Patrick Mahomes was there because he recognized this kid does not fit my system. My system has to fit this kid. This kid's a winner. This kid has talent, and I'm not tapping into that talent. And a lot of these quarterbacks, and it's a shame, these young kids that come into the NFL, they're uber talented, that have everything it takes to succeed. And that's the one position in the NFL that is notoriously undercoached, right? It's like, oh, he can't do this. And the proof is people call Tom Brady the GOAT. Tom Brady was drafted in what round? What does that tell you about the NFL evaluation of quarterbacks? Right?
Yeah.
It's a disaster. It is an absolute disaster.
I think it's just a lot of times these guys go to just crap situations. Let's be honest, right? The higher you are, unless you do trade ups like we have done, right? Unless you have a good offensive mind, which is the other half of it, these guys aren't ready to overcome the disasters. Andrew Luck's the one special case, but he had, I want to say his rookie campaign, he had, oh my gosh, Bruce Arians, who was a good offensive mind. So that saved him at the time in Indianapolis. Yeah. And other than that, Cam Newton being a super freak, literally being Hercules on steroids for a human being, the number one overall picks don't work out unless a lot of things are in place. Good coaching, good play calling, a roster that isn't just straight garbage. I mean, I feel for Bryce, not a good situation. CJ Stroud, luckily he's one of the few that was just hitting off on all cylinders, but they drafted well. A lot of their young players performed.
And they had a great coach, great young coach, a player's coach.
And, you know, we can go down the list of all these guys, but at the end of the day, I think the Rams really put teams in a bind about the win now mentality. It's like, hey, you can win a championship soon if you allocate your resources properly. And I think that screwed with teams' head. And now they're giving up on their quarterbacks one, two, 3 years max. And hey, I mean, let's be honest, if Jared Goff didn't get Sean McVay, would he have been on the Rams past year or two either? Who knows? I would probably say no. You know, that was probably a high chance that he would be gone after a couple seasons if McVay didn't come and help him out. So it's crazy. I'm glad we're not in that situation, gentlemen. We got a top 10 quarterback, future Hall of Famer as ours, and woo.
Yeah, and the quarterback that you cite is a great example. Look at Andrew Luck. He had to retire from the NFL because of physical, not because of any of the other things.
He got his ass kicked.
Poor guy, man. They just he was battered every game. You know, he's battered every game. Yeah. So,
yeah, he was. Yeah, and if Stafford gets to the Hall of Fame, which I hopefully he does, I wonder which uniform he'll wear.
Oh, I know which one uniform he's
going to wear. Well, hey, rings are forever, so they say. And, that's the hardware. That's the hardware he'll be wearing.
Yeah, right? Especially.
He didn't get to the Hall of Fame as a Lion.
I had tongue in cheek when I asked that because I think his last visit to Detroit pretty much settled that argument.
And real quick, he was treated. I mean, look, and not to bring up any San Fran nonsense, but does everyone think of Steve Young as a Buccaneer for all those times he was there? Nope.
Or a member of the LA Express?
Yeah.
Well, that too, yeah.
The NFL.
Oh, you know, I mean, shoot, dude. We can go down the list, but it sucks to be those teams, even though I think Caleb Williams, with the team they're assembling, I think he has a chance to have a nice season, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone's, you know, you all bring up a good point. You know, the Rams took a lot of heat over the last 3 or 4 years about how they do their business, and I don't think they're going to be taking much flack anymore, no matter what they do, how they go about it. You know, mortgaging the future, drafting 14 players, everything seems to have worked for them except for the 1 year. And I think a lot of people are going to keep their mouth shut when they, as far as their critiques of the Rams business model.
That's right. Bill's front office.
Mike Florio.
Everyone out there that said it was years of disaster coming. 1 year of disaster due to injury.
And there was the one commentator. He used to be the Jets general manager. Paul probably knows who he is. Mike something. And he was going on and on about how the Rams are being irresponsible, the way they're handling their cap and trading picks. And
you know what's funny about that too, Mark, about Lombardi? He has all – look at some stuff. There's like anybody, there's outrageous things. There's clickbait things a lot of these personalities say. But damn, for a former GM, if everything made so much sense, why don't you have a job anymore, dude? I mean,
right, exactly.
Or you mean when that what was that announcer? Oh, I forgot his name now. Oh my gosh, he was obnoxious at every NFL draft, and he would be the analyst, and he would analyze all these prospects, and then he got the GM gig, and he was out for the Raiders.
Mayock. Yeah.
And in 2 years,
I did like his NFL Network stuff.
Yeah, and then he proved as a GM that he knew nothing about running a team.
Yeah, and you know the one that got it right the most I don't think he's around it. Merrill Hodge. You know, they show some of his old tapes and just nailing stuff on his analysis.
Ian, you're gonna love this point, right? You talked about C.J. Stroud, who I absolutely love, right? Right. Yeah. They knocked him. They said he wasn't intelligent enough to play quarterback. Like,
stupid.
Right?
He was so much better than Bryce Young. I was shocked that they didn't take him number one, Carolina.
Now do we understand, Ram Nation, why Caleb Williams was like, screw you guys. I talk to you guys. You're going to sink my ship. No way. He's like, listen, I'll let the tape speak for itself, you know, and he's going to let the NFL come to him. So, you know, good for him. And listen, the NFL shot itself in the foot collectively, the way they've treated a lot of their players and the way they've run the combine and everything else. So, you know, it is what it is, and more power to Caleb Williams and players like them take back, you know, what is rightfully theirs, their ability to play football and decide how they're going to be marketed and where they're going to go. They have that right, and good flex on their part. I mean, you know, Marcus Allen is smiling, right? Because he's been talking about that for decades.
Yep, good stuff. Let's wrap it up.
I just hope our next quarterback is we don't miss on that whenever that day comes.
Yeah,
just thinking about these dark scenarios we all went through.
Still got a couple of years, dude.
No, I know. I'm just saying when that time comes, just please, Sean McVay, just figure it out.
Sam Hartman in the sixth round.
Right. Mark, who should we draft in the sixth round?
Sione Vaki.
No, quarterback wise.
Oh, quarterback wise. The Florida State quarterback.
Yeah, he's there.
Jordan Travis. Well, what the Rams are going to do with their next quarterback is keep your eye on a floundering franchise that has a really good quarterback, and the Rams will trade for him.
Well, Ian, Trevor Lawrence is coming to LA, according to Mark.
Not everything's on the table, guys. I mean, all I saw were the quotes this offseason of that we have the ammo to be aggressive, and that's just on our DNA, said Les Snead and Sean McVay. So anything's possible.
Mark, your strategy is going on the assumption that Jacksonville is going to struggle for the next couple of seasons. Way to go out on a limb.
Well, I wasn't even thinking of Trevor Lawrence, but you know, by then Justin Fields, you know, who knows? There's other quarterbacks out there. I don't know. I'm not a quarterback guru. I'm just throwing names out there. But I just don't know if McVay will have the patience. I guess he would to draft a rookie and turn the reins over to a rookie year one. Maybe. Yeah, it depends on who it is, I guess.
Yeah, who knows. Well, let's wrap it up there, guys. Good hour of good convo and touched on a lot of topics. So good stuff. Well, we'll see what happens in Rams world over the next week or so, and reconvene midweek next week. And until then, thanks again, Mark and Paul and Ian. And again, I'm your host, Tom, at RamsBeat on X. And we'll see you guys next week.
Keep it 99, Rambly.
Number one forever. Check out my screen. Number one forever. In your hearts, in the Ram Nation, in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Dion talks about the room above the other rooms, and he's one of those guys. Aaron Donald forever.
That's it. Well, 99 problems. 99 problems.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.